Good morning. So saved by grace and practice in grace. And we've been talking a little bit lately about God's grace and how we are saved by this grace. But part of this ability to actually acknowledge this is to continue to live in it, to live by it, to practice in its principles. Which is not the easiest of things to do. We are told that God is love, and that this is the place to begin, in God's love, knowing that that love is coming through us. There are many different forms of love, but then there is the absolute love, where I go forth as a loving human being. In the Tao, there's a great book, the Tao Te Ching, which does simply mean the way of non-blaming. And it is in this practice to understand this truth. If I'm living as a being who is non-blaming, then I'm living in that love. I do not even need to forgive, which is one of the most powerful things we have, because I don't need to forgive, for I'm not coming into a space where I feel I need to forgive anyone for anything, for I am loving. And through that type of love, God's love, comes compassion and a much deeper understanding. I was once told that ideally, get together with a couple of people that you don't care too much for and do something with them. Go for a ride. Go somewhere with them. Come back. You may still not like them too much, but chances are you will have developed a deeper compassion and understanding. You may end up liking them. You may understand why you don't like them. It may simply be they're tough to like, but you may be a lot more compassionate in understanding and why they behave the way they behave. This is being a loving person of God mind. It talks about in some of our Bible readings today, But the God of all grace, who hath called unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, this is tough. This is not easy to do. I think that it's difficult for the human race to live in a balance. I think it's more like this, and occasionally like this. You know, so, but we are told and reminded that we're not under the law, but under grace. Now, the law has many principles and many teachings which are wonderful, but it's the grace that allows me to even begin to practice the law. You know, and in 1 John, which might sound like a complete contradiction, and it's towards the end of the Bible, where I believe it belongs after all that reading, it tells us, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So on the one hand, it's talking about being fruitful in this state of mind, but on the other hand, it's saying, let he or her who goes forth saying, I'm not a sinner, let them know that they do not have the grace in them. Because we all are sinners. I heard it put rather simplistically lately, just recently. And it's really more mainstream Christian, but I love it. You know, it doesn't always have to be metaphysical, you know. A powerful message is a powerful message. And it was simply, this person simply said, God created the Ten Commandments knowing that you trip all over them and make lots of mistakes and fall short of them. And God did this so that you will then come and ask him for help. Now, I love that. It's there as a principle to practice and live by. And yes, it's possible to live by them. But first, ask God for help so that we can begin to practice this. And after all, it is a practice. And a practice means I'm going to trip over myself. I'm going to make mistakes. But perhaps that now I will learn from my mistakes. My mistakes will be a way of helping me see a better way to be, rather than just making my mistakes and staying in them and then making manifest my mistakes, enlarging them, bringing them into a greater fruition, which is not, you know, as I heard that put, once you've made a mistake and it's not been corrected, you've now made two mistakes. The first one is the mistake, and the second one is not correcting the mistake. But here in God's grace, we make a mistake and we learn from the mistake. Or they say, we sin, but then we learn from the sin. And we try to become better, and we try not to repeat that. Or perhaps it becomes lessened, less than it was before. This is God's grace. In that sense, grace is also a word that means I have breathing room. I don't have to be doing all this tight as a drum. I have room to breathe. I have room to figure this out. I have permission to make my mistakes. After all, we are beings that evolve. We learn. We study. We become more. And that can go on our entire lives. So in that, there are going to be a lot of trial and error. After all, the greatest science that we've discovered comes from lots of trial and error. Lots of mistakes. But it leads to that moment of finally, eureka! There it is. And all those mistakes helped me get there. And that's powerful. And in God's grace, the mistakes become just simply that, a learning process, not something that takes me over the edge and sends me off into something that is almost unrepairable or unrepairable. We don't have to go there. The mistake doesn't have to be that bad. And even then, from my experience and people I've worked with who have made mistakes of the greatest kind have found this grace and have been forgiven. And I say to myself, well, if God can forgive, then I should also learn to forgive. After all, I'm supposed to be in the image and likeness. I'm supposed to be trying to evolve more into the image and likeness of the Heavenly Mother and Father. And if I'm going to go around just having copping an attitude and just condemning this and condemning that and judging this and judging that, then truly I'm not in grace. I cannot be in grace and live like that at the same time. So, as we go in and out of grace, that's what it's all about. Just because I stepped out of it doesn't mean I can't walk back into it. We're talking about that which is omnipresent. It's always there. So the stepping out of it is really an illusion. It's my error. It's my building a belief that I don't live in the grace. So in reality, I can never really step out of it. I, however, can choose to not practice it. But I cannot step out of it. As I've heard it put, and I've always gotten a kick out of that, is even the atheist has to have God in their life. For without God, there's no life. So even the non-believer can non-believe all they want. But they're still in God's consciousness. For God is everything. God is everywhere. And so all that he has and all or she has is always working through us. No matter how rough it looks out there, no matter what kind of things you may see being said or what's going on, or that's erroneous thought. You know, I have no desire to want to go through all that. There is so much one can do staying in this grace. That can go forth being a caring and compassionate human being unto others as we are unto ourselves and not have to get all wrapped up in all that. As I heard it simply put, in one of the classes I used to teach the men over in the jail, it would say, respect yourself, respect others, respect the earth. And it's in that order. Because if I cannot respect myself first, how can I begin to respect others? How can I begin to respect the planet? So the work that I do on myself, the evolving, to becoming more in the image and likeness, automatically brings that into fruition. You see, I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to force it to happen. It automatically happens because I'm being it. If I'm going forth as a loving and caring human being, what else is going to be coming out of me as I meet people, as I go about my business? St. Francis, that prayer, you know, that's just amazing. And, you know, St. Francis went through a lot of hardships in order to find this prayer. But in a nutshell, it's better to understand than be understood. It's better to love than be loved. It's better to give than receive. And the first things first, in the paradox of it all, if it's better to love than be loved, well, that means I'm already in a loving state. Yes, I want to be loved back, but if I'm not being loved back, it's okay because I'm already a loving being. It's better to understand than be understood. If I have the capacity to truly understand and be a loving creature, yes, it's nice to be understood, but I'll still be able to get on about my business. It's better to give than receive. Well, the giving is receiving. I've received the ability to walk in my life as a giving person. And not saying, well, I gave you one, so I expect back one from you, or I gave you one, so I expect four back from you. It's like, no. I'm living in this flow of giving, of loving, of being understanding. And that, I think, is a pretty good space to be walking around in. I'd love to wake up every morning like that. It takes work. You know? The beauty is that we can return. And that door is never closed. There is no door. I used to say there's a door. There's no door. There's not even a door to be closed. I just have to return here. I return here. And then expresses out of me. I do not need to do anything other than that. If that's not grace, if that's not mercy and grace, that all I have to do is return. Oh. We're given what I would have to say, absolute love. Far greater than I could imagine. Any, you know, as I've heard it put, if you love your child as a parent, to know that kind of love, and we're sinners, then imagine how much God's love is, or her love is, to his or her children. That one that is not of sin at all. It's something to look at and to understand and have the opportunity to practice and live by. And this is practicing in grace. And I use that term today, practice in grace. It's not like, be in grace, live in grace. No. Take a breath, practice in grace. You're saved by grace. So go ahead, practice it. Go and practice in it. Get to understand it better. What does that mean to me? What can I do today to be more graceful? And I can back up and say, well, first of all, love God. Because that's where I can, my first thing I can ask for help. I can go on with all kinds of God, this and that, and those and them. And of course, we're not really taught so much in divine science to go on and on and on about it. It's about consciousness. So the more I can eliminate the words and just enter into the consciousness, the better. So when I can just say, God, look, God, I love you with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Now I've been put into that position to love myself so that I can love my neighbors as I would love myself. You know, I think part of the problem in the world today is a lot of people don't love themselves too much. Because I see a lot of people not loving their neighbors too much. You know, so where does that begin? How can I truly be a loving person, as this talks about, and then say, I don't love my neighbor? I can't wrap my head around that. Now, when I step out of that, I can understand how I can act like that. But I cannot step into this consciousness and even begin to comprehend not loving my neighbor. It's impossible. Love is the healing, absolute source to everything. And God is the love. as I always made mused with, the L-O-V-E, lots of vibrant energy. So may I go forth with lots of vibrant energy in God's grace and embrace the day. It says at the end here, to affirm, when we arise, love is the cornerstone of my temple. I return the gift of God's love flowing through me. I let love touch all that I see, healing, renewing, and fulfilling me. I let love be to myself and to my neighbor, and at no cost to anyone. What is the price to be like that, to be that loving? There's no price. What am I giving up? Well, my animosity, my distrust, my anger, my resentments, my paranoia. I think I can give those things up. I'm okay with giving up that stuff. You know, please, please take them from me. We set no price on love. We give it freely, and it's in our deed and in that truth. So words are not necessarily all that important. I remember Emmett Fox one time, and I was reading somewhere where he had said that he had sat next to someone, and he said, this person was amazing. It was the most wonderful experience I ever had. I'm so glad I had to sit next to him. And the person said, what did you talk about? He said, nothing. I just felt his energy. Well, he didn't say a thing. I just felt the energy. And it was the most beautiful experience I'd ever had. So it's in deed and in truth, and it comes through us. Sometimes I see animals, like cats and stuff. You ever know sometimes when they're feeling each other out, they sniff? I honestly believe they're sniffing the emotion. They're going, oh, that's where you're at? Okay, catch you later. You know? I really think they can do that. You know? They can sniff the emotion. And we can have that. We have that sight to pick up on that rather quickly. We do have that. We just got to get the clutter out of the way. You know, all the trying to think it through and analyzing and all that other stuff, just let that intuitive God mind self come through. It's being given freely to us. Freely. So anyway, as I pointed out, you know, concludes towards the end of the Bible. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. So after all said and done, I love it. All this, which looks so impossible, it's okay. It's a part of the plan. Yes, we're supposed to live by these things, but it's also God's way of saying, ask me for help. I'm here for you. Just ask. You know? So anyway, we'll close with a prayer. We just give thanks for this blessed day, for this moment that we are always in. May we continue in this grace, in this wonderful mercy that is being so freely given to us, knowing that the key to absolute love is to love God mind, God consciousness, to be in and of it and allow it to express as us and through us. As we go forth through our day, and that we may share this freely with everyone and all things that we meet. And so it is. Amen. Amen.
Could you remember a couple of friends of mine that are going into surgery? She's giving her husband a kidney.
Ah. All right. So if you hear what she's asking in prayer, we could also keep close. In the light, a friend of Diana's, who's two people, that one is going in surgery and the other is giving their kidney to this person. And we know that they are in this light and they're in God's wellness, and their goodness will be multiplied in that goodness and wellness. Amen.